Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, as always, Ben Thomas. You know, we live in a world now where our community stretches across a number of different industries, everything from healthcare to conferencing technologies to construction and data centers. And one of those places that we really have found a nice little lane for our industry is in the hospitality world. Now, what's been interesting about that transition is that we're really good as a technology community about manufacturing, installing, providing technology services, but we are also sometimes very detached from what happens at the end of the line, not only from an end user and functionality standpoint, but how our technology drives business outcomes. And I want to talk a little bit more today about how that sits in the world of hospitality. So I had to bring on somebody today who's far smarter than I am, somebody who's been a CRO, who's led all sorts of different casino resorts and properties, someone really who knows the industry inside and out, and that's Radley Medina. Radley, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Ben. It was a pleasure being here.
You know, Radley, I'm curious, right? I sort of hinted at it at the intro there. You know, there is some natural detachment from the technology manufacturer service provider side of the industry and the end of the line, right? You know, and I think it's important to ask some questions today, really, that frame that conversation, specifically in the world of hospitality. And, you know, the world of guest experience is changing. The demands from a service standpoint are changing, you know, and that impacts hospitality in a lot of different ways. But at a high level, I want to ask, what are some of the things right now that are driving hospitality, not only maybe from a revenue standpoint, a guest experience standpoint, but what are some of the things really that are most important to the world of hospitality right now?
It's really about adapting to a new, what I call psychographic segment of guests or player in the casino world, right? For the longest time, specifically in the casino business, marketing demographics kind of ruled, you know, the source data for analytics, looking, cutting data along the lines of age and income and gender and, you know, where people live. But in my opinion, that's been pretty limiting. And so today, the best operators, the best marketers are going to be those at hotels and casinos who are able to segment guests, if you will, or potential guests along psychographic lines instead. And, you know, if they're able to do that, they can then provide and curate an experience that's most resonant and to, you know, to spur on some real loyalty. And I think also technology today is helping casinos and hotels deliver on kind of a new age type of experience, because today what guests want is what I call hyper effortless experiences, right? Not all guests, mind you, but a growing number of them are, even yours truly, want fast, personalized, ideally contactless experiences, where those such experiences make sense. You know, think about how we live now, right? Uber gets us from A to B without any cash. Amazon predicts what we need. I have my house is a smart house, Ben, and so I have a Alexa talking to me all the time about what things that she thinks I should buy. It's all about Amazon predicting, I guess, what I'm going to need or want. Netflix recommends what we want to watch. Guests in the hotel and casino business expect the same intuitive, frictionless interaction. The tech is there already, in many ways separately, you know, mobile check-in, digital keys, AI powered CRM. But what really makes it work is where it's all connected. And, you know, the guest doesn't care what system's doing what. What they care about is that it just works and feels personal. And that's where the real magic happens. You know, hotels and casinos that can integrate technology in that way are going to be able to put some space between them and the competition.
Well, it's interesting because I think the easy example to point to is like the Vegas, the Atlantic cities and things like that, where you see these massive interconnected resorts. But obviously there's you know, theme parks like Disney and Universal, all sorts of different places and folks that fit into this conversation. But I think you're right. You know, there's not a distinction, right? Say I'm in Vegas for a conference, right? Say I booked a conference room. There's not a natural distinction in the guest's mind between the room experience and the shades closing.
Right.
And is my AV technology working in the conference room? Or, hey, is my app check-in working, right? There isn't a natural distinction from a guest perspective, but the reality is that there are a lot of different stakeholders and owners within the resort property, the casino itself, whether it's IT, whether it's gaming has their own, you know, area. You've got your food service team in a lot of cases who manages that. What are some of those individual stakeholder groups that help kind of inform that decision internally?
Well, in the best operating spaces, all of those stakeholder groups you just mentioned and then some are involved in the conversation, right? Of course, you have IT. You know, if it's something that's developed in-house and on-prem, IT will be handling that. Otherwise, you might have a vendor, right? That's helping you develop a piece of software, a piece of technology that's a hardware-based technology to get, you know, something done. But ideally, in my opinion, the best designers and developers are going to take not just the user's, you know, end goal in mind, but maybe the user's stakeholders' end goals in mind, right? One of the biggest things that I think operators need to focus on today in the future is reducing customer effort as well as reducing employee effort. So the easier you make it on someone to do what it is they want to do or what they need to do, the more loyal they're going to be. And that's what I think operators need to be mindful of, whether it's an F&B, food and beverage, you know, guest in a restaurant or a player at a slot machine or a hotel guest. You know, the operators in hospitality need to focus on what those folks want to do and then inform their partners in IT, partners on the vendor side to develop the type of capability that helps them accomplish that for those guests. Does that make sense?
It does. Kind of a natural question that comes out of that, though. Obviously, different stakeholders want different outcomes, right? Because your operator facilities types are looking for more of the ROI. Then you've got your guest experience side of things, and then food and beverage, speed to market, things like that. You know, from a, I guess, an outcome standpoint, how do you help support that maybe as a think technology provider, right? If I'm coming in and I'm selling to a hospitality organization, casino, resort, whatever, my conversations have to look differently, right? Because we may roll out a POS system in a food court like Resorts World, which is sort of a different outcome that's desired than maybe a security system at a hotel as well, right? How do you start those conversations, and what are some of the key outcomes that each business unit, or I mean, not necessarily business unit, but each operator is looking for individually in the resort?
Yeah, so we can start with hotel operations. An important metric that a lot of folks might not even know exists is queue to key times. So how long does it take for a guest to get their key to a clean room from the moment they actually enter the queue in a hotel lobby, right? And so right now, at least as far as I know, there isn't any technology, any good technology in place today that can help really measure that, right? But you're going to have to identify when somebody actually enters the queue. And so the technology, like facial recognition as an example, right? You know, proximity, you know, censoring, if you will, technically exists, but it's not being applied yet. So when we know somebody enters a queue and then goes to the front desk to check in, and the moment that the key is cut, you know, for them to a clean room, that would be immensely helpful to hotel operators. You know, I think when it comes to a restaurant experience, a lot of leadership in restaurants try to get order to delivery times of food, you know, in less than 20 minutes, right? In fact, 20 minutes is on the longer end. You really ideally want to try to get food to the first course or the first dish to somebody within 15 minutes. And, you know, these aren't just arbitrary standards, right? The queue to key time for hotel, order delivery time for food and beverage, that's all based on, you know, hundreds of thousands of data points. In my past life, I had access to data points for a large commercial gaming enterprise. And I was able to see, you know, the times basically where the cliff of dissatisfaction was set against, like longer than a certain time, then your shot as a hotel or casino operator getting a top box rating significantly falls off the cliff. And then, you know, loyalty diminishes, intent to return diminishes, all those things. In the casino world, you know, Ben, you have something that is, again, tied to you know, an event. So there's something called an outage in, you know, when a slot player either hits the change, the call button, you know, to call a slot attendant, or they strike a jackpot that requires a hand pay, or something goes wrong with the actual machine itself. When an outage occurs, there is another time-based threshold. You know, you need to have somebody respond to that issue in less than 180 seconds. You know, and if you don't do that, then all the same things that happen in food and beverage and hotel happen. Your shot at getting that player to come back, you know, significantly diminishes. And so technology used to identify when moments happen and how long it takes for resolution to occur would be meaningfully important to these operators in that way. Does that answer your question?
It does. And I like that you brought up the cliff of dissatisfaction, right? Because it's one of the places really that technology can help enable us, not even just from response times, right? But imagine I'm a slot player. Let's say I'm in Vegas, right? I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. Unfortunately, not a great time to be a Cowboys fan. But say I'm at the sports book, right? And, you know, I'm playing video poker on the machine, waiting for my bet to cash in, which it won't, which we all know. You know, or I've got my drink going. So I've got several different things happening at one time to sort of keep me from hitting that cliff of dissatisfaction, right? Where maybe it's I've got my digital signage and my game going up here. I've got my video poker going here. You know, I've got my bartender serving me a drink over here. What are some of those things from a technological standpoint that you've seen help kind of extend that cycle? Is it TVs? Is it audio? Is it soundscapes? I mean, what are some of those things that help can help push that timeline out?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll talk about that in a couple different ways, right? So something that's been in place for a little while now, although I think it can be improved, is using technology to identify moments when a person-to-person or analog solution needs to be applied. Disney does it well. You mentioned Disney earlier, right? So at Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, and I believe this is also now in place at Disneyland Resort in California, the use of magic bands was used not just for guests to make payments at restaurants, buy things at gift shops, and to be used as a key for their hotel rooms. It was actually a way for Disney to understand when there were long waits at certain attractions, when people waited in different places. And so they were able to then dispatch cast members to those areas to help kind of alleviate the pressures, if you will, that those guests were experiencing. In the hotel and casino business, it's the same thing. So when we understand that, you know, there's a long wait in the lobby, as an example, or there's a long wait getting into, you know, a nightclub at your favorite casino in Las Vegas, you can dispatch people like cocktail servers to bring like food, and not food, but rather, you know, balls of water, coffee, that kind of thing, to try to diminish the relative feeling of time passing. But more specific to technology, I was recently at IGA, the Indian Gaming Association's annual trade show and convention in San Diego this year. They trade between San Diego and Anaheim. This year was in San Diego, my hometown. That's why I'm a Chargers fan, Ben, even though they're in.
Sorry.
Right. You know,
we're both out of luck.
Well, at least your boys have actually won a few championships here and there. The Chargers have. So it's going to be quite painful. But there I was introduced to technology. I'm not going to name the companies, but technology that I think could be pretty, you know, game changing, simply because this technology allowed people to, experience entertainment on their little digital screen in every slot machine, basically decide on and make reservations for restaurants, you know, looking at available offers in real time that they could potentially redeem. And there's even one company, I'm really excited for this particular firm. Again, I'm not going to mention who they are, but I think they're on the cutting edge of developing essentially the circuit necessary to allow players to take their winnings or take the money that they've inserted into a slot machine once they've decided they're finished playing, and then essentially getting that money transferred directly to their bank account. You know, that's the thing that can be done right now. And, you know, that's a game-changing piece of tech. But going back to your question really quickly, so, you know, at IGA, you know, I saw these digital screens that again fed either a little mini games or entertainment, you know, content for people to pursue or to, you know, peruse the resort's offerings. And I think, you know, that'll help reduce the relative passing of time.
You know, I love that you've even mentioned sort of the slot itself, right? I know that this isn't specifically just about casinos and gaming, but it's interesting to see how what I would call traditional physical technology has overtaken hotel casinos, right? Everything from digital displays to you look at places like Resorts World with the giant little dome area, and everybody's got a technology centric installation, but it was kind of partitioned to the, hey, we've got the TVs and then we've got all the nice little eye candy stuff. But now you've got everything that you need at your literal fingertips when you sit down at a slot machine or a casino. Part of that's here, right?
Right.
Which we all know. But part of that is the, hey, I've got this fully customizable interface here where I could not only manage my free play and account information, I could play the game here, I could play two games here. You know, it's become sort of this full personalized integration of like AV and screens and, you know, IT capabilities. You could probably at some point, I don't know, you could probably check in from a slot machine whenever they figure that out. I think we'll all be good. But we've seen sort of this convergence, right? And all that we talked about those stakeholders earlier, obviously IT, cybersecurity, folks like that sit in that intersection as well. But how have you seen maybe some of those non-traditional technologies, maybe the screens and the entertainment, things like that, find its way to sort of this centralized, I guess, unit is a good way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I think screens and just certain AV tech in general are silent salespeople now, right? They might not even be silent. They can make noise and things of that nature as well. But a well-placed display can nudge behavior in powerful ways, whether it's guiding traffic to a lounge, to a restaurant, promoting a spa deal maybe, or showing real-time casino offers based on someone's loyalty tier or their current day's play. Those are all ways that screens can help now, or displays. Now, smartest operators are using AV like dynamic storytelling tools, tailoring content to the time of day, you know, the demo of the plurality, if not the majority of the people on the casino floor or in the hotel tower at any given time, even weather. And it's not just about looking good, right? It's about guiding action at the end of the day, not just providing information, but inspiring behavior. And so, again, like I mentioned, I was recently at IGA, and that new technology was meant to do that, to try to inspire people while they're playing to book a restaurant reservation so that they can, you know, capture some incremental revenue that way through food and beverage. And so, and it's not just, so going back to slot machines, I don't think that they're just ambient tech, but there was a time in the past when it was. You'd have a screen on your slot machine, you'd have a monitor nearby, and it just happened to provide noise, visual noise, so to speak, right? You know, added some flair to the casino floor. It's not that way anymore. They're really strategic tools that allow guests, or in the case of casinos, players, to do everything we already talked about, you know, to include receiving real-time promotions. And, you know, I think that's the way, I'm hoping I'm answering your question there, but that's
yeah.
Screens and displays can best be used, I think, as silent salespeople.
Yeah. Well, you talked about IGA, and obviously a show in that same realm too is the G2Es of the world. I know a lot of folks who may be listening right now, they may not have ever been shows that showed up on their radar, but it's important for us to ask those questions and go to shows like that and learn, because, you know, that was G2E was the first place I really got to see how, you know, Nevada Gaming Association really worked with the technology, what requirements were here and how you had to collaborate with this technological provider and access to this and real-time gaming and you know, how much do you have to have from a bandwidth standpoint to bet in real time? There's a lot of those different things that we haven't considered. But, you know, I'm curious too, Radley. Obviously, it's very easy to sort of focus on the new and the cool and all that, right? And I'll use Resorts World again because they've done a really good job of building a tech-centric property recently. But that only works for so long, right? You can't just have technology and new and cool for technology's sake. There's got to be outcomes, right? There's got to be data that comes from that. There's got to be revenue that comes from that. So if you were, you know, say you're a hotelier or an operator or whoever, what are some of the technologies that you would say to kind of start with, right? Is it guest experience? Is it food and beverage? I mean, what are some of those technologies that are most important to you from an experience standpoint that'll sort of stand the test of time?
Well, you know, I think there's one company, one hotel, large, you know, global hotel company that whose name I won't mention, but they do it really, really well. So as you know, for the last 3 years, Ben, I've been a frequent business traveler, in fact, pretty much weekly. And this one hotel company, through their app alone, allows me not just to book reservations, redeem offers, you know, redeem points, check in. I can order in-room dining. I can check out, you know, download my folio. I can do a whole bunch of different things seamlessly. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, an app is not as, oh, let me back up a little bit. So there are competitors to this company that don't do it as well, right? And they're leaving a lot on the table because of that. They need to be able to really provide a piece of technology that a guest can accomplish essentially anything they want through without having to go to a disparate system or, you know, or talk to somebody as an example. Now, if I were to design, like, I guess a tech forward property from scratch, you know, I guess what I would do is I would prioritize infrastructure, because no one wants to talk about, you know, I guess the stability of a system or the power of Wi-Fi. But if your backbone, you know, your infrastructure isn't solid, then nothing else really matters. You know, from the end user perspective, from a guest perspective, you know, think about when you travel, Ben. If Wi-Fi is slow or always disconnects, you know, you're not a happy camper. You know, if your keys, which are all either digital or at the very least electronic nowadays, if they continue to fail, you know, you're not very happy either, right? So your infrastructure needs to be solid. After that, I'd focus on more open systems, right? Tech that plays nicely with others and evolves easily. So one of the problems today that I see, that I don't think has been resolved, or, you know, a solution hasn't been found yet or designed yet, Ben, is that in a hotel or a casino space, you have all these different stakeholders that we've referred to, whether it's casino operators, food and beverage, hotel, retail, you know, marketing. Everyone uses their own system, but it's very rare for these systems to talk to each other in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
You'd have to get a data architect, right, to kind of build a view in the data warehouse for disparate systems to have data pulled into, and then maybe a BI savvy person can then give an operator information they need. And even then, that's pretty slow. So building basically a conduit or a circuit through which these disparate systems can communicate with each other so that operators can know what's happening. Like a casino host might know what's going on in housekeeping, and housekeeping will know whether or not, you know, there's a delay during a lunch service period for a couple of restaurants. They know how much time they might have before they need to turn a room. All this information, you know, once it can be shared and across an entire organization, will be exceptionally helpful. And, you know, I think one other thing too is it's interesting. I recently came across a new venture based out of Atlanta, I believe. And at least to me, it's new. I'm calling it a tech hotel. That's not what they call it. But it's really based on, you think about AI, the Internet of Things, you know, automation, crypto settlement methods, using NFTs as part of like art programming and more. That's what this organization wants to do. And I think that, you know, that's intriguing. Well, I know that's intriguing. Right. And so I would do that. I would look at taking the best that technology has to offer that might not have a use case or application in hotels today, and then try to incorporate that into the experience. And I think that helps future-proof hotels, as like my kids. I have a kid who's Gen Z, I have a kid who's Gen Alpha. As those two kind of become functioning, productive adults and they start to travel the world, they're going to want to experience the world and consume, you know, entertainment and hospitality in a different way than I've grown accustomed to. And so I think, you know, finding the right tech, not even the back-end kind of tech that helps hotels operate, but the kind of tech that guests will want to consume and interact with will be vitally important to any hotel organization that wants to be relevant in the future. But above all, I'd build with humans in mind. I think you kind of touched on that earlier, right? Because, you know, tech, just to be, you know, whether advanced or not, just existing is really useless unless people use it, you know? And so I think central piece of any design initiative needs to be, how do people, not just users, but again, in the case of serving the hospitality industry, what the operators or users, guests feel, like how they feel about using a thing, what do they want to accomplish, what do they want to experience, what helps the staff shine. So beyond the guests, but the hotel operators, team members, you know, I love tech, but only when it's for the better, more memorable, and more connected experiences.
You know, it's interesting. I love that you spotlighted the sort of the infrastructure side of things as being the main building block, because look, we need to have flexibility as an industry. And hey, in 3 years, this may look different than another thing. I'm even reminded of the Link built a sports book. It was like one of the coolest sports books ever. And then like 3 years later, just tore it down. But now granted, there's, you know, elements to that and, you know, gaming space and data points and how can we cram as much in there, right? But they built an ecosystem that allowed them to do that, right? And now they probably didn't, you know, necessarily get their money back from it, but they said, hey, we have the infrastructure to pivot and do so wisely. So, I mean, even building on top of the infrastructure conversation, how important is having an ecosystem that can adapt quickly? Or maybe you need to say, hey, you know what? The Super Bowl's coming or F1's coming. We need to be able to totally repurpose this space here.
Yeah, I mean, flexibility, adaptability, scalability, all those things, right? They're sometimes used interchangeably. I think they're vitally important to any backbone, technology backbone that a company wants to build upon. Simply because, as you know, advancements in tech, advancements in pretty much everything nowadays, that slope is getting steeper and steeper and steeper. So you're going to have a shorter amount of time to make an idea a reality. Otherwise, you're not going to be relevant. Your competition is leaving the dust. So I think the importance of having, you know, a kind of infrastructure that is flexible and scalable it has to be prioritized, because you're going to be limited by that if you don't prioritize it.
Well, Bradley, I'm going to give you the last word here. I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball a little bit. When you think about technologies that will continue to impact the industry, and maybe it's like you mentioned, maybe something that really hasn't found its way in, maybe the next 5-10 years, what are a couple of things that really excite you the most about how technology and hospitality are going to continue to intersect?
Well, for me, and this might seem a little bit big brothery, but I remember, you know, this idea of mine is actually something that was seeded in my brain in 2011. So it's been around for a while, but it hasn't become, no one's been able to make it a reality yet. You know, ideally, I think, you know, as society becomes more open to more of a big brother approach to, like, not surveillance, right? But rather just knowing what you're doing and kind of anticipating what your needs are. You know, the type of technology that really monitors what every guest or player is doing when they're on site. Like the moment, let me back up a little bit. So here's my ideal. Here in Las Vegas, if somebody lands at Harry Reid International Airport, you know, and a casino operator will know that they've landed. They will know when they're 5 minutes out. You know, there's going to be a curbside greeting for that guest when they arrive. They come into the property. And from that point forward, everything they do, the casino or the hotel will know about. right? Everything from how much they've spent here or there at this restaurant, which you can get nowadays, but I'm talking more along the lines of, you know, taking that information and trying to predict what they're going to do next so that the tech, if you will, can then prescribe to the operator how to approach that. That's that kind of technology I think needs to be there to help usher in this age of prescriptive analytics and not just historical or predictive analytics. Does that make any sense?
It does. And really, that's sort of the benefit. And we can talk all day about things like AI and technology and all that. But really, the key point to all this is getting better and more actionable and meaningful data.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's player habits, you know, transaction habits, things like that, being able to take that, interpret that, and turning it into a meaningful guest experience, really, I guess, is sort of the golden goose of the entire industry.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, the one other thing, too, is the type of technology that, you know, again, leads us to this prescriptive era. I need to also be mindful of the fact that I think guests in general, players in general today are less likely to view gaming as a primary source of entertainment. And in a lot of cases, people come to Vegas or Atlantic City or even a regional outfit somewhere in the Midwest. They're not even considering gaming as a secondary form of entertainment. It's very tertiary. They might engage in it. So the best operators out there will be able to benefit from knowing how to inspire those folks, you know, to play slots or table games or whatever the new game might be in the gaming space, because that's where all the flow through is. You know what I mean? And so whoever on the tech side can help an operator get there will be viewed as a savior.
Yeah. Well, hey, you talk about new gaming, shameless plug, by the way, for Double Down Madness. It's the newest game that I like. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Radley, it's incredible to hear your perspective, right? Because when we don't have conversations like this, sometimes we keep ourselves detached and we become manufacturers and providers of speeds and feeds, and we don't always know how it's driving business outcomes. And the more that we can understand as a community how we continue to serve folks like you guys and operators and folks within that industry, I think the better the technology will continue to become. But I'll tell you what, I appreciate you coming on the show today. We're going to find a way to get you back on for sure. You got too much knowledge in that mind of yours to only try and dump it out at one show. But Radley, I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us your thoughts today.
Thanks, Ben. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe. Check us out next time on the show.